Tonight, security fears. The president says there is no credible threat to the U.S. this holiday weekend. But as millions take to the road and sky, tonight a warning of a dangerous lapse. Our NBC News investigation revealed at major airports. Tragic mistake. Military officials now blame human error for the deadly U.S. strike on a hospital, revealing the crew lost vital systems but carried out the attack anyway on the wrong target. To the streets, another night of protests in Chicago as new questions are raised about the video showing a police officer fatally shooting a teenager 16 times. And buyer beware, this year Black Friday may not have the biggest savings. The best days to find the best deals on those hot holiday items. Nightly News begins right now.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. Substituting tonight, Kate Snow.
Good evening. On this night before Thanksgiving and the long weekend, when it's estimated nearly 50 million Americans are traveling away from home, the president today made a special appearance at the White House meant to reassure the nation. President Obama said he knew that Americans are asking each other whether it's safe to fly or to gather. He said he understood that families are discussing fears of terrorism around the dinner table. And he essentially asked Americans to trust him and trust law enforcement authorities. As of today, the president said they know of no specific and credible intelligence indicating a plot on the homeland. We begin tonight with NBC national correspondent Peter Alexander at the White House.
A pre-holiday show of force from the streets of Manhattan to the White House, where President Obama, flanked by his top national security advisors, today tried to reassure anxious Americans.
I want the American people to know is that we are taking every possible step to keep our homeland safe.
The message, in effect, we'll do the worrying, you do the celebrating, with a reminder for everyone to stay alert.
If you see something suspicious, say something. But otherwise, Americans should go about their usual Thanksgiving weekend activities.
A new government advisory today offers little detailed information, but warns what police already know, that attackers could capitalize on the Thanksgiving holiday to promote their agenda. The top concern remains homegrown extremists, with soft targets nearly impossible to protect.
We have a number of different tourist destinations. That's a big part of our economy. Certainly, we're always vigilant to anything happening there.
This week, hundreds of newly assigned officers to the NYPD's Critical Response Command prepared for nightmare scenarios, simulating both active shooters and hostage takers.
This is going to be an elite, dedicated force. They're trained in counterterrorism. They'll be briefed on the intelligence every day. This is really a force for today's threat picture.
Even ahead of tomorrow's Thanksgiving Day parade, with 3 million people expected, police are deploying extra security as crews inflate the trademark balloons.
I believe that we can't live in fear.
Of course it's on our minds, but again, they want us to live in fear, and we feel we can't.
While Paris brought the terror threat closer to home, U.S. security officials say they are working relentlessly to prevent any attack here. President Obama today made it clear that if his team learns about any specific credible threat, they'll let us all know. He'll spend the holiday weekend here with his family before flying to Paris for climate talks later in the weekend.
Peter Alexander at the White House tonight. Peter, thanks. Now to an NBC News investigation that raises questions about security, with ISIS claiming responsibility for bombing that Russian jetliner in Egypt and suspicions that an airline employee may have been key to executing that plot. Security experts have been warning about the potential insider threat posed by employees who work at airports here in the U.S. The vast majority of airport employees in this country do not pass through a security checkpoint every day the way passengers do. And as NBC's Tom Costello reports, security experts call it a gaping hole that tonight we're seeing firsthand.
At JFK Airport today, business as usual at the employee entrance at Terminal 4. Select airport workers swiped their secure electronic keys, entered a PIN, then walked right in. Unlike passengers and crew members, no ID checks, no metal detectors, no explosive scans, no bag checks. It's the same routine that was captured here on cell phone video last January. No checkpoints inside either, except for the random TSA and airport police checks. Nationwide, only Miami and Orlando airports fully screen every worker every day. Surprisingly, the nation's airports decide for themselves whether to screen employees. But an airport police union says it's a dangerous security gap. 3 years ago, it wrote the TSA urging mandatory screening for all airport employees at the biggest airports, including TSA officers.
When are we going to learn our lessons from the past? When are we going to be proactive rather than reactive?
Homeland Security recently called for fewer airport access points and more random employee screening. After the Metrojet bombing in Egypt, security experts are warning against radicalized employee with access to airports and planes. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson today. Most airport workers who go to work every day are not screened. Does that need to change?
We're evaluating whether more is necessary right now. That's something that I and TSA have been focused on as recently as today.
The problem, many airports complain they can't afford the manpower to screen every employee every day.
Tonight, JFK Airport terminal executives are not responding to our calls for comment, but the TSA says the airport does do background checks and does conduct random pat-downs and bag checks, but it's not every employee and it's not every day. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Today, Turkey released what it calls proof that a Russian fighter jet was warned repeatedly that it was violating Turkish airspace before it was shot out of the sky. The incident is threatening to send the region spiraling even further out of control. Our chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel, joins us from Istanbul with more. Good evening, Richard.
Kate, today the dispute between Turkey and Russia got even worse. Turkey released audio recordings of what it says were repeated warnings sent over radio to the Russian bomber. Turkey said that the jet was warned 10 times and that in the moment it didn't know the nationality of the approaching aircraft. But the Russian navigator who ejected from the jet said he heard none of this. Experts say it's possible they weren't tuned into the same channels. It appears they're not watching the same radars either. Turkey released a flight path showing the Russian jet cutting across an outcropping of Turkish territory. Russia gave its own version of the route, claiming its jet was on the Syrian side the whole time. ISIS is taking advantage of all of these divisions among its enemies and has now launched an unprecedented campaign of incitement, calling for attacks on the United States. It's a scare tactic, the simplest form of terrorism. And this will be on the agenda of French President François Hollande when he travels to Moscow tomorrow in an effort to put this crisis behind Turkey and Russia and put some sort of coalition together. Kate?
Richard Engel reporting from Turkey. Protests are underway for a second night in Chicago as we learn more about past complaints against the officer at the center of the firestorm. And as Stephanie Gosk reports, there are new questions about that video that shows him firing 16 shots, killing an African-American teenager.
The night before Thanksgiving, protesters are still in the streets of Chicago. Demonstrations triggered by yesterday's release of dash cam video showing the moment 17-year-old Laquan McDonald was shot and killed by police last October. Officer Jason Van Dyke emptied his 9mm handgun, firing 16 rounds. Among the questions being asked now, why is this video silent? Five patrol cars with dash cams were on the scene, but only one video emerged, with no sound of gunshots, no recording of what was said. The superintendent of the Chicago Police Department doesn't know why.
There's supposed to be, and it's supposed to happen in a couple of different instances, and this is one of the things that we're working on.
Van Dyke is charged with first-degree murder. His lawyer says the cop fired in self-defense. Gunshot wounds riddled McDonald's body, 16 of them from head to toe. City records show this is not the first time Van Dyke's conduct has been questioned. The officer was named in 20 citizen complaints, including allegations of unnecessary physical contact and drawing his weapon. Van Dyke was found not at fault each time. Four cases remain open. Investigative journalist Jamie Calvin fought for 10 years to obtain records of thousands of complaints against Chicago PD, including those against Van Dyke.
The issue that is reflected by Officer Van Dyke's record, but is a much, much larger issue, is the failures of the accountability mechanisms in the city. And, you know, we've tragically seen the ultimate cost in the case of Laquan McDonald.
Oink, oink. This is a small group right now, but as you can see, a pretty disruptive one. They've effectively shut down a large intersection here in the center of Chicago. There are other groups that are planning an even larger protest on Black Friday, the Magnificent Mile. They're hoping to have an economic impact on the city so that their voices get heard. Kate?
Stephanie Gosk in Chicago tonight. There are new developments in that deadly U.S. airstrike that killed dozens at a Doctors Without Borders hospital in Afghanistan. The U.S. military today called it a tragic mistake that could have been avoided. And as Chief Pentagon correspondent Jim Mikliszewski tells us, the attack was the result of several crucial errors.
It was a devastating attack. The U.S. airstrike on a hospital in Kunduz killed 30 civilian doctors and patients. Today, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan offered no excuses.
This was a tragic but avoidable accident caused primarily by human error.
An AC-130 gunship relentlessly pounded the hospital run by Doctors Without Borders with heavy artillery. 211 shells in 25 minutes, but it was the wrong target. The intended target was an Afghan military headquarters seized by the Taliban, but the hospital was more than 400 yards away and nearly destroyed in the attack. It was a tragedy of errors. In violation of protocol, a special operations commander called in the airstrikes without ever seeing the target. Many of the electronics aboard the AC-130, critical to combat operations, were not working properly. And the crew aboard the plane failed to correctly identify the target that they were about to strike.
The investigation found that some of the U.S. individuals involved did not follow the rules of engagement.
Officials here say that audio tapes from the plane show that the flight crew at first questioned whether the airstrikes were even legal, but they launched the assault anyway. One senior defense official called those recordings damning. Doctors Without Borders repeatedly called the U.S. military to say their hospital was under attack, but the shelling continued for 17 more minutes.
It really, for us, demonstrates a real gross negligence in terms of the responsibility of U.S. forces to distinguish between civilian targets and military targets.
And the group called again for an independent, impartial investigation. Jim Mikliszewski, NBC News, The Pentagon.
Now to the race for 2016, on a week when many of the most heated political battles are moving off the campaign trail and over to Thanksgiving tables around the nation. Many of the candidates are taking a breather, but as our Hallie Jackson explains, they're leaving on a bit of a political cliffhanger.
From candidates, a kind of presidential pardon.
I'm pardoning it for being ugly.
Giving turkeys a break while they take one, most off the campaign trail for the holiday.
The holiday presents an opportunity to maximize your exposure to voters, whether it's at Thanksgiving Day parades.
Still, a slower holiday week makes momentum key, whether you have it or you don't. Like Ben Carson, slipping double digits in the latest Iowa poll. At the same time, Ted Cruz surging there to within striking distance of Donald Trump, who issued this warning last week.
If he catches on, then I guess we'll have to go to war.
The two, their political bromance cooling, potentially on a collision course.
Nobody's right mind would predict what Donald Trump is going to say next. But from Cruz's point of view, I'm quite confident that he's going to play this very cool.
But watch for Cruz to draw distinctions on policy if he's attacked by Trump, who spent his Thanksgiving week with family, a rare appearance by his wife on the campaign trail.
Good evening. He will be the best president ever.
Another pre-holiday family outing, the Rubios, after the Florida senator, now in the top tier, sat down with Natalie Morales today.
Is this where you saw yourself at this point in the race?
Well, it's an unpredictable year. I mean, we've never had an election like this, and I would just say that we're very pleased with where we are in this campaign.
Rubio begins airing ads this week, and he's not the only one. Candidates and committees will flood TVs in the first four voting states, including here in New Hampshire, or in South Carolina, with $5.5 million worth of political commercials. Kate?
Hallie Jackson in South Carolina tonight. Still ahead, should you avoid the long lines and the elbows on Black Friday this year? We'll tell you why the experts say you might be able to score even bigger savings if you do. We're back now with the frenzy about to be unleashed, and we're not talking about the airport rush or the Thanksgiving feast. We're talking about the Black Friday bonanza, which will actually start at a lot of stores even before the turkey is cold. But did you know, for many items, Black Friday is increasingly a bad day to buy? NBC's Olivia Stearns tells us when the best deals are actually available.
Outside this Best Buy in Southern California,
I call it my second home.
Tents already up, shoppers waiting to get first dibs on Black Friday deals. In Phoenix, Jarvis Johnson's also sleeping out, determined to get the lowest price on electronics.
You know, they say the early bird gets the worm, and I'm the early bird, and I'm going to get the biggest worm that I can get.
Like millions of Americans, they are convinced Black Friday sales are the best deals of the year. But experts say they may be flat out wrong.
We saw that almost 20% of items on Black Friday itself are going to be more expensive than they were about a week ago.
One reason many retailers, including Best Buy, have already offered even deeper discounts online.
This year, more than ever, shoppers will also be using their smartphones, both to compare prices and also find deals in real time. Plus, many stores will actually send you special discounts if you're using their app.
So when will you find the best deals?
Early in the season, you'll see better deals on things like small appliances, electronics, toys and games.
Experts say for jewelry and electronics, try Thanksgiving Day. For toys, wait until Cyber Monday. And for clothes, the closer to Christmas, the deeper the discount. That said, if you want some of the hottest gifts of the year, like toys from the Star Wars movie or a camera drone, you may want to shop for them now and pay the price. Olivia Stearns, NBC News, New York.
At the White House today, a last-minute reprieve before Thanksgiving as President Obama, joined by his daughters, pardoned Abe, this year's National Thanksgiving Turkey. The president referred to him as TOTUS, or Turkey of the United States. His friend Honest was also pardoned. Honest and Abe will spend their days on a Virginia farm now. There's a major weather threat if you're traveling this Thanksgiving. The West Coast getting hit with snow and extremely high tides, known as king tides. But the real danger is tomorrow, when the system moves into the middle of the country. Rain and a wintry mix are expected to disrupt travel in the central plains. On Friday, rain moves into the Midwest with the threat of flooding. We learned today that Frank Gifford, the legendary NFL Hall of Fame player and broadcaster and husband of NBC's own Kathy Lee Gifford, suffered from the brain disease known as CTE when he passed away back in August, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. The disease has been linked with repeated hard hits to the head. In a statement, the family says it's sharing the news so that Gifford might inspire others suffering from the disease, and so his family might be a small part of the solution to what it called an urgent problem concerning anyone involved with football. The family said it will continue to support the NFL and recent on-field rule changes to make the game as safe as possible. For its part, the NFL said the health and safety of its players remains its highest priority. That'll do it for us on this Thanksgiving Eve. I'm Kate Snow. For all of us at NBC News, thanks so much for watching. Have a great night.